Scripture lesson is from St. Paul's Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Hear the Word of God. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of the Lord. Let us bow in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A poet writes, "Hope, like a gleaming candle light, adorns and cheers our way. And still, as darker grows the night, it emits a brighter way." Circumstances may oppress you. Events may overwhelm you. Sickness may rack your body, or the death of a loved one shake you to the core of your being. But always, always, there is hope. Hope for a brighter future. Hope for a destiny fulfilled. Hope for a life that is abundant both now and in the world to come. How can there be this hope? Because always there is God generously offering this hope to anyone who will come to him. The psalmist writes, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." To the weary, to the sick, to the despairing, to anyone, no matter what his condition, God makes available his amazing grace. Grace which strengthens and heals and renews. That is why you and I can have hope. God is for us. What happens to people who have no hope? Years ago, a small town in Maine was destined to be submerged in a great water reservoir to be built for a hydroelectric plant. When the project was announced, the people were given 11 months to evacuate, to get out of that town. When the project was announced, yes, the people were struck with horror. During this time, during the 11 months, the dam, before the dam was built, a curious thing happened. All improvements to the town ceased. No painting was done. No repairs were made on the buildings. Roads and sidewalks began to crumble. Day by day, the whole town became shabbier and shabbier. And a long time before the dam was built, before the waters came, the town looked uncared for. even though the people had not yet moved away. One citizen explained, "Where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. People who have no hope are cut off from the awareness of future possibility, and they are drained of present power." Psychologist Maurice Chalfant says, "No matter how deeply a person is depressed, no matter how despondent, if somehow he can hold on to a ray of hope in his mind, he will begin to recover. A woman will find the courage to keep her family together in spite of a drinking husband as long as she can see a spark of hope. Parents can tolerate many difficulties with their children if they have hope for better days. A salesperson can live with many negative responses to his sales pitch if he has hope of improving his presentation. Genuine and lasting hope, not a counterfeit, comes from God, the infinite, the immovable, the absolute, immeasurable God. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, the psalmist cries. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will neither slumber nor sleep. To those who turn to God, God gives hope." In today's Old Testament lesson, we have an example of God's gift of hope generously given to his people. The context of this lesson is that the people of Israel had wandered in the desert for 40 years. During that time, they had doubted, stumbled, faltered, sinned. They had complained against God, grumbling about their circumstances, their lack of food and water, their harsh environment. They expressed feelings of homelessness and longed to return to the slavery that they once had experienced in Egypt. They made a molten image of a calf and began to worship it. Then they were bitten by snakes as punishment for their hardness of heart later on. They were a people in exile, a people who had sinned, a people constantly in need. Not because they were deserving, but because God loved them and was gracious, they were given hope. God made a covenant with them and gave them a special leader for a special time. His name was Joshua. Joshua. His mission was to break the cycle of the people's wandering and take them to a land flowing with milk and honey. And this Joshua accomplished. In the book of Joshua, chapter 3, we read, "The Lord said to Joshua, 'This day will I exalt thee in the eyes of all Israel, that they may know that I am with thee. And thou shalt command the priests to bear the ark of the covenant, to stand still in the middle of the river Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and they shall stand firm on dry ground.'" And so, the people of Israel were led by the grace of God into the promised land. And their covenant, at least in part, was fulfilled. God had accomplished this. The Bible tells us that in the same way, by the grace of God, and by His grace only, the world we know today has been given hope. Through thousands of years of history, humankind has suffered the ravages of war, the futility of hatred, attitudes and actions of revolt and rebellion. Neighbor has turned against neighbor. Families have broken apart in misunderstanding. Alienation, lawlessness, and sin have plagued every race, every nation. Listen to the judgment of Scripture. "There is none righteous, no, not one." There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Like sheep, they have all gone astray. And there is none that doeth good. No, not one. The words of the Apostle Paul. But because God loves and is gracious, there still is hope. Though unmerited, though undeserving, the world has been given another great leader. Who is that leader? It is Jesus Christ. Another Joshua. What's strange is that the word Joshua, transliterated in time, becomes Yeshua, which again becomes transliterated into Jesus. So Joshua is the same word as Jesus. And there is a parallel between Joshua, who led the people of Israel into the promised land flowing with milk and honey, and Jesus, who leads us into a land of promise. That promise still awaits us. Hear his words. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Behold, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Joshua, Jesus, the same word, just changed over time, but the basic root is the same. What the Old Testament Joshua did on the physical and temporal plane for the people of Israel, Jesus has done spiritually and forever for those who will simply follow him. The Old Testament Joshua is a prefigurement or type of Christ. Joshua is a prophecy. It says, just as Joshua led the people to the Holy Land, so in Jesus we shall be led to the Holy Land. Throughout the Old Testament there are prefigurements such as this. Amazing resemblances. Both Joshua and Jesus, by the grace of God, provided a way to enter into the promised land. For Joshua, the land of Palestine. For Jesus, the land where there is no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither any more pain. It's no accident that Joshua and Jesus are so related. Dr. Merrill F. Unger writes, both Joshua and Jesus mean God saves. They are the same words, different only in form due to the transformation of language over time. Jesus is the Grecianized version of the Hebrew word Yeshua, and Yeshua is simply a form of the word Joshua. Again, Joshua and Jesus, they are identical. Both names testify to the saving mercy and amazing grace of God. A minister who had served God faithfully for many years dreamed that he had died and was standing in front of the pearly gates. St. Peter told him he needed 100 points to get into this promised land. The minister smiled knowingly. I don't think that will be a problem, he said. I have been a minister for 47 years. That's nice, said St. Peter. That's 1 point. 1 point, the minister exclaimed. All I get is 1 point for 47 years? That's right, replied St. Peter. Well, I visited the sick and the dying. That's another point, said St. Peter. Now you have 2 points. All you need is 100. The minister was nervous and tugged at his collar. I worked with the youth group for years, and you know what a task that can be. Good. Another point. And I developed a soup kitchen and several recovery programs. Two more points, said St. Peter. That makes 5 points, 95 to go. Oh, no, cried the minister. I feel so helpless, so inadequate, except for the grace of God. I don't have a chance. St. Peter then smiled and made a notation on his clipboard. Grace of God, 95 points. Come right in. Thank God for the hope that He has provided for us through Christ, by whom we are saved. Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Unto Him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before His throne with exceeding joy, be glory and dominion, majesty and power, now and always. Amen. Let us turn to